We begin by acknowledging that we gather on land shared with Canada's First Peoples, including the Métis, the Inuit, and locally, the Anishinaabe of the Fort William First Nation. In doing so, we show respect for the fact that the land has been part of their identity and their everyday lives for generations untold, and still is. The coming of European settlers brought, among other things, much loss of health, lives, autonomy, and culture. Let us therefore strive to be better partners for the future under the Robinson Superior Treaty signed in 1850 and respecting the recommendations of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada. Our fire communion ritual allows us to make way for the new by calling us first to release that which no longer serves our collective vision to live by values of goodness, inclusiveness, justice, and stewardship. Last week, we shared in small groups some of the things we were ready to let go of from the year that had passed. You might recall what you said and wish to write that on your piece of paper. Or as you listen to the words that follow, something else may occur to you. So while you think about that, Brenda is going to ceremonially burn some items of some paper, bits of paper for us in the type of ceremony that we might have had in the church had we been able to be together. We release the constant and fruitless worries and regrets that sit on our shoulders like heavy yokes, robbing us of sleep and peace, impeding our ability to face troubles with skill, determination, and humor. We release the burden of resentment, jealousies, envy, prejudice, and just judgment that creates needless distance between us and slows the flow of communication and understanding. We release discouragement and despair, found all too easily in times of suffering and disruption, dimming our hopes and our belief in collective strength and our capacity to adapt and overcome. We release habits that are harmful to ourselves and to others, avoidance, overindulgence, mockery, gossip, and abuse of the environment. If you don't already have something written, I invite you to do so now. We'll pause for a few moments. And afterward, you may wish to put it away for reflection or to destroy it later in a manner of your choosing. Let's pause now. So it's my intention to follow up that part of the ceremony with the lighting of some new candles. But I'm noticing that we do still have some time in this morning service. We're not in a hurry. And I just wondered if anyone would like to share with the group some of what they would like to release from the year that's just passed. So we'll do it in the same way as candles of joy and sorrow. If you'd like to say something, just raise your hand either electronically or wave at me, and you can unmute yourself when I call on you and say what you'd like to share with the group. So for many of us, I think the letting go perhaps might be a bit more personal. And I invite you to find your own way of releasing that. It may be tucking it into a journal and revisiting it later to make sure that you're staying on top of this change you'd like to make. It may involve destroying it in some manner, a fire or burying it somewhere, whatever manner seems appropriate to you. You could inscribe some words on a candle and burn the candle down. Use your imagination. But the value of rituals like this is that it takes an idea And it brings it into physical reality. And sometimes that has a bit more of an impact on us. So I invite you to find a way to make that work for you. So now, as part of entering the new year, I'm going to light 4 candles and offer what I hope is inspiration in words adapted from Reverend Susan Veronica Rock. We light this first candle to invoke the spirit of compassion. We extend our sympathies to all those who grieve the loss of loved ones. The nation and the world are so full of sorrow. We honor and embrace the pain caused to all people by illness, injuries, and death. We invoke the spirit of compassion. We light the second candle to invoke the spirit of wisdom and discernment. We send our wishes to those who serve the nation in the halls of government. We call on you to keep faith with our country's values of freedom, fairness, and justice. We commit to acting in the coming year in a manner that reflects the best of us. We invoke the spirit of wisdom and discernment. We light this third candle to invoke the spirit of gratitude and courage. We send our thanks to the frontline workers, to those who tend the ill and dying, to those who sit at bedsides, to all the essential workers who protect our safety and our well-being, provide food and basic needs for us. We stand in awe of their strength and live in gratitude of their testament to human caring. We invoke the spirit of gratitude and courage. And finally, we light this fourth candle to invoke the twin spirits of reason and love. We remind ourselves of the harm caused by rushing to judgment, by scapegoating, holding prejudices, and tolerating racism. We remind ourselves to treat each other as we would like to be treated. Let us heal ourselves and each other by listening, accepting, and by touching each other's lives. We invoke the spirits of reason and love. May the image and meaning of these lights live as a pilot light in your spirits this coming year. I'd like to share a reading now. I was struck recently and inspired by the words in a newsletter from the Roots to Harvest program. Now, many of you know that this is a small local organization devoted to food security, but also providing work skills and true mentorship to the youth who work in it. Our friend Aaron Beagle gladly gave permission to share an excerpt with you. She styled it as a letter to the coronavirus. Dear COVID, I know you think you're the four horsemen wrapped into one neat little viral contagion, and I can see why you'd credit yourself as such. People are dying and fighting and hungry. All of that is true. But Mr. Rogers said it best when he said, look for the helpers. Yes, you picked a fight with the wrong species, my evil friend, because the helpers are everywhere. It's the nurses and doctors sitting bedside to make sure people don't die alone. It's the teachers singing and playing with students online as a new way to connect and learn. It's the community agencies cooking and packing and delivering food to anyone who needs it. And it's the everyday citizen speaking up for what is right and just. And guess what? Despite all you have taken away from us, we have experienced deep abundance, an abundance of generosity, of caring, of kindness. You thought that by taking away our ability to touch and be close, that you would make us feel alone and separate. And I'll admit, there are times when we go there because dang, I miss hugs. But you have only served to show us that being close and connected is much more than a physical presence. And when you're gone, yes, we will outlive you. We will be closer than ever before. And more than that, we will have been reminded how possible and necessary it is to reach across distance to one another. I thought those were wonderful words for us to think about as we go forward.